Last week when Brother Bill was speaking, I was very encouraged to talk about fathers and Noah. And it made me think of the spiritual fathers, those who are not our birth fathers, but who are our spiritual fathers. And it made me think of how they help us as we go on in the faith. We know Father's Day, as Brother Bill said, I didn't see anything in the stores or anything. They completely forgot. I even forgot it was Father's Day. If my kids didn't come and my wife didn't say Happy Father, it was like there was not even a commercial. It was just like non-existent. But I say that to say this, is that I believe sometimes we, I don't say disregard our fathers, but I mean, like, we always tend to think to our mothers, right? But the fathers are usually kind of like in the background, but they're helping steer things around, right? I remember one time I was coming home from school and it was this bully. And so I used to walk on the train tracks to get to school and back and forth. And my father said, like, why is it taking you so long to get home? I used to go around the other way because I know this bully was there, and he had a big machete. Right. And so he used to, you know, like thing us, and we used to go walk all the way around. And then one day I didn't see him anymore. Only months later, I found out my father went and spoke to his parents. Right. And I didn't notice. And all of a sudden I realized everything was gone. But it's just, you know, just to bring out the point that the fathers are usually the ones behind the scenes helping steer things. And so I want to talk about two people in the Bible who were, I believe, were good fathers, good spiritual fathers. And I want to bring it into context in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. And this scripture is usually used out of context a lot of times, because what people think, they're trying, like the Apostle Paul is trying to pin one against the other, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying in verse 15, he says, "For though you might have 10,000 instructions in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me." And so here we see, I believe the Apostle Paul is saying that he has a care for them. He has a spiritual care for these saints here in Corinth. He's saying that, you know what, you have many teachers, and teachers are important. We're not negating that. I'm not saying that. What he's saying that you need both, right? We need both. We need the teachers to teach us, but also, we need fathers. We need spiritual fathers. I thank the Lord that I have a lot of spiritual fathers. I know there's a brother who he texts me almost every other day, a Bible verse, trying to encourage me, how you doing and stuff. You need people like that, because it's hard in this spiritual life. It's hard in this spiritual pathway. You get discouraged. You start to feel down on yourself. And you need the fathers. And that's what he's saying. He says, you do not have many fathers. That we need the fathers also. And sometimes we negate that because the fathers are always in the back. The spiritual fathers are always in the back. You may not see them, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, I know we see the teachers. We see the, you know, the things that are going on. But we need both. We need those people who are teaching us. But we also need the people behind the scenes steering, you know, kind of like steering us, you know, in the right way. And so I want to look at two people who I believe Paul, when he talked about, "Therefore I urge you to imitate me," is that that's another thing as a spiritual father. You want to those to imitate what you're doing. So you have to be a good example. And the first one, I believe, is in Philippians chapter 2. And in Philippians chapter 2, it talks about a brother called Epaphroditus. And I believe he was a spiritual father. I believe he was maybe younger than Paul, and we know Paul probably, he got converted by Paul from Acts chapter 16, I believe. Paul founded a church in Philippi, but he had the heart of a father, and that's what I wanted to hone in on today. And it says, "Yet I consider it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. because for the work of Christ he became close to death, not regarding his life to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. And so there's a couple of things that Paul calls him. But I want to tell you, Epaphroditus was taking a gift from the saints to Paul. So now in this day, right? I mean, like in today's day, where we could give a gift to a saint, we could send it through mail or Zelle or, you know, whatever we want. But he had to travel miles, I think over 700 miles, to give him a gift. So first of all, you know, they know he's probably with money, right? They know he's going to give a gift. So this is perilous for him. He had to risk his life to give this money to Paul. But Paul really had a good esteem for this brother. He said, Epaphroditus, my brother. And when you look at this, my brother, it means like he had affections for this brother. He had, when he says this word my, and I, you know, the English doesn't really tell you how it's supposed to be worded, but my brother means that he had affection. He's like, that my means like, this is my brother. This is somebody who I love. And this is how it should be, right? That we should have affection for one for another. This is what Paul was saying about him, but this is what I believe Epaphroditus had for him. He had affection for him. He said, you know what? I have to get to Paul. And this is a beautiful picture that we shouldn't look at each other as just brothers and sisters, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, just, you know, I know we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, but we should have affections for one another. You know, do we miss each other? Do we love one another with a fervent love? And this is what Epaphroditus is. He says, my brother. But he also said fellow worker or co-worker. And I'm telling you, as a believer, it's hard to serve the Lord. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it and say like it's all, you know, roses and stuff like that, right? It's hard to serve the Lord, but it's good to have someone who's a co-worker with you, right? To have someone, that's what Epaphroditus was. He was a co-worker. He was a person who was a fellow worker. It was like, it's hard to do something by yourself, right? And so he had somebody who was beside him. And this is what you need. You know, Paul had Barnabas. He had Silas. He had many people who helped him. You know what I'm saying? Imagine you being in jail and be able to sing and do all these different things. You need somebody like that behind you. Barnabas, you know what I'm saying, was a son of encouragement. You need people who encourage you. You need people to help you. And this is what Epaphroditus was. He was one of those people who can encourage somebody, can lift them up as we go through this Christian walk. So we see that he had affections for him. He also know that he was a person that he could rely on. He was a fellow worker, but he also was a fellow soldier. And that's the thing, is that sometimes we forget that we're in a spiritual warfare, right? You know what I'm saying? And nobody goes to war by themselves. Well, maybe somebody might. It's crazy, but I mean, you can't go to war by yourself, right? I mean, you know, you always have to have an army. You always have to have somebody with you in that foxhole, as they say, right? And so it's good to know that in that times that you have somebody who has your six, right? Or as they say, you know, as you go along, you know, say, hey, sometimes you may be looking and you don't see the enemy coming from the side, but somebody can be there and say, brother, you know what I'm saying? What you're doing is not right now. There can be someone who can go with you as we walk through this spiritual warfare and can help you. He was a fellow soldier. But he also says, but your messenger. So he also was a messenger. You know what I'm saying? And he was able to deliver things to the Apostle Paul that were not only from the saints, but I believe was also from the Lord. And so this is a person who has to be in the Word. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you're going to be a messenger for the Lord, you know what I'm saying? You're going to be a messenger on his behalf. You have to be one who's in the Word and have a personal relationship with the Lord. So that's a beautiful picture of this brother. And it says, as we go on, it says, and the one who ministered to my need. He saw the needs that people had. And that's what a father does, right? A father sees the need, right? And he tries to fulfill that need. But, you know what I'm saying? It's not the want, what they want, but what they need, right? And that's a beautiful thing. I always remember, you know, growing up, I didn't have anything to need. My father and mother always provided that for me, right? I didn't know how bills were paid. I didn't care, right? I mean, I was carefree. I was happy. And, you know, I was just like, you know, enjoying life. And then it hit me, right? When I got older, I mean, like, how, you know, you start worrying about all these things. But this is what he did. As a spiritual father, he ministered to their needs. And so we see a beautiful picture of what a spiritual father is. But we also see that he was sick. The Bible says, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. And this is a selfless person also, right? And that's why I believe sometimes spiritual fathers, they're selfless, right? It says that he was upset, not that he was sick. The Bible says he was upset because they had heard that he was sick. So he didn't care about himself. He didn't care about anything about himself. He cared that they were going to be distraught because they heard that he was sick. And this is what, again, trying to parallel that to what a spiritual father is that every day I used to see my father go to work when he was working. And he used to go to work in Manhattan. He would leave 5 a.m. in the morning. And I would see him go in and day in and day out, right? And I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't know where he was going. But it says here that he didn't want me to know, right? You know what I'm saying? But the same thing here is that he didn't want to know the toil and the things that these people were going through. And he didn't want them to know what he was going through. And so this is what I want to bring out here is that, for indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So we see all here, it's all a selfless thing right here. First of all, Paul was selfless because he was giving him back to him even though he needed him. Epaphroditus was selfless because he didn't want the people to know, you know, that he was sick. And so we see a beautiful picture of when I bring out that says imitate me, is that we see Epaphroditus imitating his spiritual father and now becoming a spiritual father to these people in Philippi. And it says, therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice and may be less sorrowful. And this is what should be, this should be always our prayer, is that when we come, that people should rejoice. People should rejoice when we're in their presence, that we bring them joy. It says not only that we bring them joy, but that they may be less sorrowful, right? There's people who are sorrowing, are going through tough times in life. We should be able to bring that enjoyment, that joy to our life. We should be those who would encourage, right? I always think of Barnabas and John Mark, right? You know what I'm saying? John Mark wanted to, you know, Christian life was tough. But Barnabas was able to be a spiritual father to him and say, you know what? You know, you have to keep on. And later on, we see that he was recovered by that encouragement from Barnabas. But we need people like that who we need to have joy in our presence, and they bring joy to our presence, and they also make us less sorrowful. And as we go on, it says, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. We have to cherish our fathers, our spiritual fathers. The thing is that sometimes, as you know, when you're young, you don't appreciate what you don't know, right? Sometimes you take for granted these things. Sometimes you feel, you know what? I could do this thing on my own. But the Apostle Paul is saying here, receive them in gladness, in that, you know, appreciate them. Appreciate these people while you have them. Appreciate Epaphroditus. And said, hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ, he came to close to death, not regarding his life. First of all, he didn't regard his life because he knew it was going to be a treacherous walk. He knew that it was going to be dangerous for him to go to Paul and give him this money. He knew that, you know what, there's a chance that he could be sick. You know, writers, I know I was reading up on some writers, and they were saying that, you know, maybe when he was put into the Colosseum and stuff like that, that's why he got sick and stuff like that, because it says that, you know, because of the work of Christ, he came close to death. We don't know that. The Bible doesn't say that. But it's because he became sick because of something that he was doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, because for the work of Christ, he became close to death. So it's something that has to be tied to it. So you know what that tells me? Is that he did something that's so selfless that he was willing to risk his life. And I'm telling you that we should risk our life for the brethren. That's what the Bible tells us. We should risk our life for the brethren. Do we have a love for them that we're willing to lay down our life? And this is Epaphroditus. He was willing to lay down his life to get Paul what he needed, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service towards me. And this is the thing, is that there's people who, and thank the Lord that we have spiritual fathers who risk their life every day, not maybe physically, but they sacrifice their time to read the word, to encourage us, to take time out of their day to call, to do whatever they have to do, because they see that what's lacking in your service towards me. You know what I'm saying? Is that they see the lack and they don't step. They're people who stand in the gap and they encourage us and they call and encourage us and do whatever they need for the saints. And I parallel this in the beginning of this chapter. It talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, it talks about how the Lord Jesus Christ was humble and how he did all these things. It says in verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Is that we should have this mind of Christ. We should have this humility. We should have this selflessness that we don't care about ourselves. The Apostle Paul talks about it. He says that, you know, that you shouldn't care about your own thing, but look at the things of others. That's what we should be, our attitude. And when we look at this person, Epaphroditus, it says also in 4:18, there's Epaphroditus again, talks about him. It says in verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And this is what the Lord looks at this service as. A sweet-smelling aroma. And you know what? Probably nobody knew about Epaphroditus. Nobody probably knew about him. Yeah, we know about him now because we're reading the letter. But maybe he was somebody who nobody knew about, right? Maybe he was a brother who was very quiet or I think we don't know. I don't ever hear about him speaking or anything. But little we know about him is that we're reading about him 2,000s of years later, right? And the Lord has put him here. And so I want to encourage us that sometimes we disregard people who are spiritual fathers, but they're needed, and the Lord looks at their work, right? And the Lord looks at it as a sweet-smelling aroma. I think the last time it was talked about sweet-smelling aroma was in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2 when it was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, right? You know what I'm saying? And so the Lord looks at these things, and it brings joy to his heart. But also Epaphroditus was a pagan, right? And it's surprising that Paul would talk about him in this way, because Epaphroditus actually comes from the Greek god Aphrodite. And so his parents were probably pagan, right? But also the Apostle Paul was a Jew, right? But we see him calling our fellow brother, our fellow laborer. So it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter your creed. It doesn't matter what I think. We are brethren. You know what I'm saying? The Apostle Paul said, my brother. He had affections towards his brother. So it didn't matter his background or where he was from. Only thing is that the Lord Jesus Christ, they were both saved and that they can call themselves brethren. The next person is in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I won't read all that. But in verse 16, it says, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. For he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. So the Apostle Paul was in prison, and this brother Onesiphorus was looking for him. So today, when you're looking for somebody in prison, you could just go and we know which prison you're in, and we could go look and they have a roster of people and stuff like that. Back in that day, you had to search every prison to see where they were at. So first of all, you're putting yourself in a perilous situation because you're going in places that are very dark and seedy people around there. And so he's searching everywhere for the Apostle Paul. And so he risked his life also, but he knew that Paul needed encouragement. And this word that he often refreshed me, that's what these spiritual fathers are. They're like a refreshment. When you speak of refreshment, it's almost like when you're on a hot day, like yesterday, right? And you want a cup of water or you drink a cup of water, it brings refreshment to you. It's like that's the kind of feeling that they bring. They bring something that you refresh. It's hard being a Christian. You're getting beat up from the enemy just time after time after time, right? You need that refreshment. And it wasn't something that he did once. I like how the Bible says, for he often. Is that this was a continuous thing that he did. It's something that was always on his mind. It's something that he was always willing to do. And that's the thing, is that the Lord wants us to be willing.
He wants us to be those who would be often refreshing to people. And he was not ashamed of my chain. I don't want to use the application here. It's that all the time when we go encourage people, they may be going through tough times. The Apostle Paul here, all people have forsaken him. Before, if you read, I didn't read for connection, but you see that, you know, people had left him. People, he was going through a tough time, right? And people didn't want to be associated with him. And this brother did not care. It says he was not ashamed of my chain. Is that sometimes people are being chained by the things of this world, right? They are, you know, and we could use application. I want to use Apostle Peter when he was in jail and stuff like that. And they may be having things in their life that are keeping them chained, right? But we have brothers here who are not ashamed. They're willing to go out and reach out to these people, willing to refresh them. And it says, but when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. And so, again, Rome speaks of type of the world. Again, application. And he sought me out very zealously and found me. And I want to tell you that sometimes people may find themselves in the world. You may find people who are chained. You might find people who are not in the best conditions. But we are supposed to be spiritual fathers and reach out to those people. And he said, very zealously and found me. This brother didn't stop until he found him. And that's what we should be. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that, you know, as he's a good shepherd, that when he sees those people wandering, that he goes out after them. And we should be the same. It says, the Lord granted him that he might find mercy from me, from the Lord in that day. And this word mercy basically means favor. Is that he should find favor in that day. And so the thing is that, again, he's doing this thing for the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is basically saying, I can't repay him. I can't repay him for what he's doing, right? But he's saying that he may find favor from the Lord in that day. And that's the reward that they're going to have, these spiritual fathers, that they're going to have a reward in that coming day at the judgment seat of Christ, that they're going to get their rewards for what they have done. And it says, and you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. And again, here, we see here that this was a continuous thing that he was doing. His testimony was one where he was an encourager, but he also ministered to the Apostle Paul. That he was one who was standing in the gap. And I know the Apostle Paul, it was discouraging. Even though we look at the Apostle Paul and we say, like, how can a person like this be, everybody left him? This guy wrote all these Bible verses, all these scriptures, all these books. He's the most popular, you know, basically, you know, person here in this Bible that we read sometimes. And he was forsaken. We have to realize that he was a man. He was discouraged. He was down. And the Lord Jesus Christ used this person, Onesiphorus, his brother Onesiphorus, that to minister to him and encourage him through his need. And then we see him again, Onesiphorus, in 2 Timothy 4:19. And he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus. And I wanted to bring this out because it wasn't only him, but it was his household also. And so the thing is that sometimes we do say, well, it's just the spiritual fathers, but we also thank God for the spiritual mothers. And we see that in John when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross and he turned to John and he says, you know, behold your mother and behold your son. And the Bible says that from that day forth, John took the Lord's mother to his home. And I believe that her being in his home had a spiritual effect on him also. You know what I'm saying? From his books and what he wrote. So I want to encourage us that we should cherish and appreciate the spiritual mothers and the spiritual fathers in our lives. And also, greet Priscilla and Aquila. They were a husband and wife who, when Apollos was preaching and he wasn't preaching things the right way, they were able to take him aside and encourage him also. So we see here that the Lord uses spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers to encourage us. And they didn't do it publicly, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, they took them to their home and they did it, encourage him in the home. And so sometimes we have these people who are behind the scenes. They're not big, as they say, but I mean, you know, they're behind the scenes, but they're helping the work. They're helping in tandem with the teachers that we need. They're helping in tandem with the spiritual father. They're working together as fellow workers, as Apostle Paul said, co-workers together. They both are needed, right? And this is my encouragement to us, is that these are brothers who encourage the saints. They cared for the saints. They longed for the saints. It says in Epaphroditus, it says that when he was away from them, he longed for the saints. That he missed them, right? You know what I'm saying? Is that, you know, sometimes, you know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about anybody here. Sometimes there's people that drive out, they're like, good, I'm glad it is, finished with these people, right? You know what I'm saying? We don't want to be like that, right? We want to be like, when we don't see them, we long for them. What are they doing? How are they feeling? How wonder what's going on in their job? You know, you're thinking about them constantly. This is what Epaphroditus did. That he traveled all this time, risked his life for the Apostle Paul. And then he risked his life back to go back to the saints because he knew they were longing for him. He wanted to be with them. But this is the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that in John 17, he says that, you know, that they may be with me. Whenever you love somebody, you long for them. You want to be with them. And this is what the spiritual fathers are. They long for us. The spiritual mothers, they care about us. They're thinking about it. They want our spiritual well-being, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, yes, they want to see us growing, you know, financially and job-wise and things and stuff like that. But they care about, is this brother going on for the Lord? Is this brother reading? Is they, you know, they're needed, right? And so I just want to encourage us with that. And hopefully you were encouraged. Namesake.
Amen.